Welcome back to the OU Daily Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Tuesday, the 15th day of the month of Kislev. Thank you to our incredible and generous sponsors for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Please note that beginning tomorrow, I will be away for a week and grateful to my colleagues who will be filling in until my return next Wednesday, December 9th. You'll all be in good hands. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to introduce Rabbi Chai Posner of Beth Tfila Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Posner slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek, Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishaberach Lecholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Posner to learn more about his wonderful community in Baltimore. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker. Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Posner.
Thank you, Rabbi Naftali. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. And let me take this opportunity to extend some hakaras hatov, a deep sense of gratitude and thanks to the OU for all that they've been doing, all that you've been doing during these past months. You've really been a steadying force and a calming presence for me, for my kahila, and I'm sure for many, many others. And it's good to have everyone joining us here this evening. I don't know about any of you, but here in Baltimore, today is the coldest day we've had so far this year. In fact, my kids claimed, though I didn't see this myself, they claimed that there were some flurries this morning. My daughter said that it was fluttering outside, and I asked her what that meant. She said there was little snow coming down. So it's our coldest day, and we're looking now. It's also it's the middle of Kislev. It's the beginning of December, and we're thinking about a possible dark and cold winter ahead. And with Hanukkah coming up, I'm brought to one of my favorite Gemaras. It's on my mind, to Gemara in Avodah Zarah. That's Avodah Zarah 8a. Fascinating, fascinating story there. We're told that Adam Harishon, Tanur Rabbanan, Lefi Shira Adam Harishon Yom Shemit Ma'it Ve'Alech. When Adam Harishon saw that the days were getting darker and darker, it was getting darker earlier in the day, there was less sunlight. Imagine how terrifying that was. He didn't know that this is just the way the world works. So he said, Oily, oh, woe to me. What did I do wrong here? Shema bishpil shesarachti olam chashuf ba'adi. Maybe I ruin the world. Maybe because of my sin, the world is being destroyed. It's getting darker and darker. And finally, v'chozer l'tov avo. It's going to return to tov avo, to null and void like it was at the beginning. It's getting darker and darker. And this is Zoe Mita Shakansa Shniknasa, like this is the death that I'm being punished with because of what I had done. This is coming from God. So what did Adam Arishan do? Says the Gemara. It says that Adam sat for 8 days. Interesting. For 8 days in fast and in prayer. And what happened? Kevan Sharat Kufa Tevet, when he saw that Tevet, the season of Tevet was coming, this is the winter solstice. And what happened? Vara Yom Shemarich Vaolech, he saw the days started getting longer and the light was getting brighter. Amar, he said, Minago Shel Olam Hu, this is just the way the world works. This is the order of the world. He was relieved. He saw this is seasonal. He saw it felt so dark and like it wasn't going to be light ever again. And then it got lighter and lighter. This is just the way it goes. I mean, he went, the Asa Shmona Yom Tovim. He went and he made 8 days of celebration. 8 days of celebration. This festival of 8 days around the time of the winter solstice celebrating light. And the Gemara goes on and says that in the next year he went and established these days as a Yom Tov, as a Chag, as days of celebration. The Gemara actually, interestingly, goes on to say, and they, the nations of the world, the Gentiles, Kavum L'Shem Avodat Kochavim, they established this for some type of pagan holiday. It's incredibly fascinating that we commemorate Hanukkah right around this time. We commemorate Hanukkah, a holiday of 8 days, a celebration of light over dark. It's interesting that the other cultures of the world also have these holidays of celebration that seem to celebrate light as well. And perhaps it goes back to this Gemara. There's three things that I learned from this Gemara, and there's so much there and so much more to unpack. But first of all, there are ups and downs in this world, and Hashem built those ups and downs into creation. There are times when there's going to be more light, and there's time when there's going to be more dark. But during those dark times, we can remain encouraged, knowing that the light will be coming sooner than we think, that the days will be getting longer again. The second thing that I learned from this Gemara is that it's not our fault. That we can think that it's our fault. Adam thought it was his fault. He thought he ruined the world. As I wound up, it had absolutely nothing to do with him at all. And we do this for ourselves. We sort of have this egocentric view sometimes. We take on burdens. We blame ourselves for problems with others. And so often, there's nothing that we could do or could have done differently. It just is what it is. This is what happens. From our point of view, we think that we understand it. This is why this is happening. This is why that's happening. But really, we may well just not understand. It's just something that we didn't realize. Oh, that's the way the world works. And finally, I learned that we get to choose how we respond to all of this. During the dark times, Adam chose to fast, to daven, to turn inward, to connect to God. And during the light, Adam chose to thank God, to create a holiday, which is hard not to assume was some type of precedence toward Hanukkah. The Gentiles, they chose to make this a time of Avodah Zarah, a time of idolatry. There's a lot that we don't control, but there's also a lot that we do control. And we certainly control how we choose to react during those light times and during the dark times. The dark times can inspire us to dig deeper, to connect further. After all, we are Am Yisrael. We are the descendants of Yaakov Avinu, who in our parsha this week becomes great. He becomes great because we're told, Sarita, he struggled. He struggles. And it's through his struggle that he becomes great, Vatuchal, that he overcomes. It's through that struggle that we can become great, just like Yaakov. By the way, the Gemara goes on later on to say that this also happened the first day that Adam ever was created, when it became night. He recognized, oh my gosh, what's going on? The world's getting dark. I don't know what's going to happen. And he sat, and the Gemara says that Chava sat with him and cried, and he davened, and he fasted, and then he saw the dawn coming once again and said, that's just the way the world goes. This is something that's part and parcel, that's from the very first day that we're born, that's there every single day, this existential reality, that there are dark times, that there are light times. There are moments throughout the day where we feel sad, where we feel down, moments where we feel we're failing, where we feel dark. But the sun is right around the corner. The sun is bright. The sun can lighten things when the day comes. The days can be long and can be dark, but the days can become long. I'm sorry, the days can be short and can be dark, but the days can become long and bright again. And God willing, soon as Hanukkah comes in, it should bring with it for all of us light that illuminates not only our homes, but our lives, and indeed the whole world around us. May we all each do our part to bring that light into the world and to be encouraged, knowing that the days will be getting longer and the light will be getting brighter. We're going to continue now with our Tehillim. We'll recite first Tehillim, Taf Gimel, Psalm 23. Mizmor la David, Adonai roi lo echsar. Binot Dasha Yarbitaini Alme Minuchot in Alaini Nafshi Shove Yarchaini Vinagile Sadek Leman Shimo Gam Kiele Fagay Tamavet Lo Yerara Kiatai Madi Shiftecha mishantecha, heimayina chamuni, taruch lefanai shulchan, neged torai, dishantava shaven roshi, kosi revaya, ach tov vachesed yirdifuni, kol yemei chayai, v'shavti v'veit adunai, v'yarech yamin. We continue with Tehillim Kuf Chaf Aleph, Psalm 121. Shir v'ma'alo, Sinai El Heharim Mayain Yavo Ezri Ezri May Maduna Yosea Shamayim Bahardes Al Yitain Lamot Vaglecha Al Yanum Shamarecha Inilayan Valisha and Shomer Yisrael Adonai Shamarecha Adonai tzilecha al yad yaminecha Yomam ha-shemesh lo yakeka v'yareach b'layla Adonai yishmor orcha mikol ra yishmor et nafshecha Adonai yishmor teitcha v'oecha me'ata v'yad olam Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130. Shir hamalot mimamakim kiratecha Adonai Adonai shima v'koli tiyana oznecha kashivot v'kol tachanunai im avonot ishmor ya Adonai mi'amot kimechas licha l'man tivarei Kiviti Adonai, Givata Nafshi, Lidvaro, Vokalti, Nafshi Ladunai, Mishamrim Laboker, Shamrim Laboker, Yachel Yisrael El Adonai, Kiim Adonai Afese, Verbe Mofidot, Vihu Yifet Yisrael, Mikola Vonota. Continue with him, Shiberach Lecholim. Prayer for those who are sick, please feel free to keep in mind and insert any names of those who are in need of healing at the pause. Mi Shabarach Avatanu Hamitsak Yako, Moshe Ram Dodu Shlomo, Yimotino Sarkar Havle Yahu Rechapeta Holim Yakolot. We'll conclude with the Achinu prayer, prayer for all our brothers and sisters in need of help and of healing. Achinu Kobeit Yisrael, and it's a new Vesarav Vishivya. Homedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha hamakom yirachem aleihem v'yotziem yisrael lervacha v'me'afela leoram yishivu ligula hashta bagala v'zman kariv v'nomar amen.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Posner. As we transition into the next segment of our call, first I can relate to the cold that you are experiencing in Baltimore. This morning in Boca Raton, it was a frigid 55 degrees when I left the house this morning, which for us is the equivalent of it being in the negative zeros. So you have my empathy.
Absolutely.
But let's get started. First and foremost, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Baruch Hashem, thank God. We're doing okay. You know, I talk to a lot of people, and people say, these are difficult times, but I really do find a lot of silver linings in there. I find a lot of people finding those silver linings, and you know, certainly just taking a step back from the regular routine and being able to think a little more creatively, a little bit more out of the box, and certainly being able, I'm fortunate, very fortunate, you know, to be hunkered down with a family here. So being able to see my kids a little bit more, being able, you know, as a shul rabbi, something I was always concerned about was wanting my kids to be able to sit next to me during davening. I need to be able to pay attention to them and daven with them. You know, the way I learned to daven growing up with my father, and I was always concerned I would get that opportunity. So, you know, we get that opportunity now. There are fewer people in shul. My son could sit next to me. We could daven together. So, you know, we're doing okay. Baruch Hashem, thank God. Baltimore's been fortunate, fairly fortunate in terms of the leadership that we've had from our local VOD. That's been very, very strong and very careful from the beginning. And also, I've mentioned it in other places, but we're grateful for the precedent that the OU has set, and sort of knowing as our shul rabbis that the OU has our back is incredibly powerful in what we can do. So thank you.
Absolutely, and we're glad to hear that people are doing well. So to get us started, for our listeners who may not be as familiar with your shul, with your community, we're fortunate to have listeners calling in from really all over the world. Could you give us a brief overview of Beth Tefillah, of the community in general?
Yeah, sure. Well, Baltimore is a huge Jewish community here. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. I grew up in Flatbush. So, you know, nothing's a huge Jewish community compared to that. I'm not sure Yerushalayim is a huge Jewish community compared to Flatbush. But Baltimore is a big Jewish community here. Plenty, you know, the whole infrastructure, everything's there, anything that you need. Obviously, Neir Yisrael is the famous yeshiva that's here and through the Star K oversees a lot. But Beth Tefillah is a large Monorthodox congregation. We have about 1,200 family units, members. We also have a day school, preschool all the way through 12th grade, with about 1,000 students in it. And we have a camp in the summertime, too. And, you know, it's sort of like this old-time, quote-unquote, out-of-town shul. Again, I grew up in Brooklyn, so every shul was out of town for me. Out of town meant it was not in New York. But when I say it like this, I mean that we really have a wide range of people coming here, a wide range of background, wide range of observance level, and it really is something very beautiful. It's sort of a throwback in that sense. And you could be davening in shul next to someone who's from, who's Shomer Shabbos, and someone on the other side who isn't, and they kind of all come together, daven together, learn together, grow together. It's something very, I'm not sure that I saw myself ever ending up in a place like that, growing up, you know, in a much more homogeneous kind of setting. But it's really beautiful, and it's inspiring. It's organic. Kind of a lot of people looking to grow, you know, and in the different places where they are, looking to grow and looking to be connected, and it's beautiful. We love it here.
That's amazing, and I can relate to our community down here in Boca Raton. Boca Raton Synagogue, our tagline is actually valuing diversity, celebrating unity, and a very similar concept that you could be sitting in shul, on one side someone wearing a bekesha and a strimal, and the person next to you just got out of their car on Shabbos morning, but all davening together. But as the line goes, everyone walks to shul on Shabbos morning, some from their homes and some from their cars, but everyone walks to shul. Growing up in Brooklyn and now in Baltimore, what motivated you? What was the propeller? What drove you to go into the rabbinate, to become a pulpit rabbi?
Well, it's a great question. I feel like certain pieces of my answer always remain the same, and certain pieces that every few years, you know, I kind of like come back to. I don't know that going to the rabbinate or being a shul rabbi was necessarily something that kind of like I grew up with. I was always drawn to shul. I was always drawn to davening. I was always drawn to Divrei Torah. Like, those were always things that I was interested in. And I think when I thought that I would probably become like a Rebbe in a high school or something like that, just because, I don't know, in my upbringing, the way it was, like, it wasn't going into a shul wasn't something that people really did, like a shul rabbi. But as I was always learning and seeing and looking out there, the pieces of being a shul rabbi really, really speak to me. Like I said, like the having the opportunity to teach, and I really get, like, I like to learn, but I love to teach, you know, like, so when you're learning in order to teach, is really like what speaks to me, seeing others, hearing others' questions, seeing their eyes kind of light up, bringing Torah to other people, meeting people where they are on their journey and inspiring them more to grow, the communal feeling and the setting. Being there with people, as I've learned in my time of being a rabbi, through ups and downs. You know, obviously you want the ups and you want the simchas. Incredibly inspiring, also being with people in difficult times. You really see people, what they're made up of, their courage, their bravery, you see it sort of shines through. And really just the multifacets of being a shul rabbi, a little of this and a little of that and a little of that, really, really all spoke to me. I certainly, you know, as nobody expected what we're going through right now, it's not something I ever thought about dealing with as a shul rabbi, but as it's happened, it really has also been, you know, a roller coaster, but it's also been inspiring being able to really meet people and their needs of the moment and throw the playbook out. There's no playbook out there for what we're doing. And just to come up with creative ways of connecting people, of giving each person what they are. For one person, they're looking for a social distance masked face minion that they can go daven at or say Kaddish at. You know, for another person, they're not leaving their house and they're looking for some type of guide to how they can do davening at home. Now, for another person, they're just lonely and they're looking for a phone call. I mean, so, just on all the different programming and outreach and things like that that we're doing, which really continued to speak to me, as well.
That's truly amazing. And your contribution of having gone into the rabbinate and being in the pulpit is certainly something that is very much meaningful to all those who are around you and benefit from all that you have to offer. And the truth is, as you said, that there's the formal education, being behind the desk, being in the classroom, being in a Beit Midrash, but there's also, besides all the classes, I'm sure, that you give pre-COVID or now virtually, however it might be, and beyond the life cycles events that rabbis have to attend to, just being in a leadership position, You're always educating, you're always teaching, you're always demonstrating to all those around you the proper conduct of how a Jew is supposed to act in one's home and beyond. And so there's teaching going on nonstop. Our last question is a little bit late, so we'll try and keep it short. But with so much change as a result of the pandemic, we're seeing innovation, we're seeing creativity, ingenuity. But what communal changes do you anticipate for your synagogue, for your shul, and perhaps for the broader Jewish community?
You know, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. We had the Gemara in Daf Yomi yesterday talking about a great line. You know, a mouse isn't a navi. I mean, I'm not a navi either. I'll tell you what I would like to see happen. What I'd like to see happen is a lot of what we've learned, and the OU has done this, like you said, with the ingenuity and creativity, but we've seen it in shuls. A lot of what we've learned, a lot of what we've seen, I know in our shul, many shuls, and I would even say across the denominations, have been, you know, rabbis, like, really, because we've been forced to do it, stopping and saying, like, what do we need to do right now to help people get through life? What do we need to do right now to be relevant, to be meaningful, to be inspiring to people? And I hope that continues. I found that, you know, I always think about Torah, Avodah, Gemilu Chatzadim, and I really think about it like this. Torah, like the Torah that's come out, I'm sure if you go back and you listen to all the archives here, just such incredible, inspiring, and meaningful Torah that we're teaching to our people, I think more than like ever before. You know, in Avodah, like, sure, we've been challenged in being able to come together and to be a minyan, but the way that davening has happened and the thought that's gone into it and the teaching about davening and, you know, learning with different ways and what you can do with the minyan, what it can't do with minyan, it's just been really inspiring. And, you know, Gemilu Chasadim during this time hasn't meant necessarily like a soup kitchen for people, but it's meant like really like calling your neighbor and saying, how can I help you? I'm going to the supermarket. Do you need me to bring something? Just how incredibly relevant and meaningful it is. And I really, really hope that that's going to continue. I think people will come back to shul inspired. I've heard from a lot of our people, wow, I didn't realize how much shul means to me. I can't wait to get back. I miss it so desperately. And so I hope that when people come back, we'll be able to continue some of that like creativity and out-of-the-box thinking and really be relevant and meaningful to people in their daily lives.
Well, we certainly hope so. And Rabbi Poser, I just want to thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community. You alluded just a moment ago about these calls and the archives. We have 9 months now of archives. And I've actually received emails over these past few months, people asking if all these ideas can be written up together. So it's an idea. Certainly, if there's someone listening out there who's interested in sponsoring it, reach out to me. But I think a good play on words to call the book, the safer that could come out of this, could play on the word kavod. You call the safer COVID HaTorah or COVID HaTorah. But we'll see. So much ingenuity, so much good, and we always have to look for the good. So I pose as they are with all of Klai Yisrael of the entire world, our thoughts and our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all those in need will be answered, l'tova, for good. And may the Rabboni Sha'olam, the master of the world, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Wednesday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, as my good friend and colleague, Rabbi Sol Karish, will be back in the studio, and we'll hear words of inspiration from Rabbi Evan Rubin of Knesset Israel Torah Center in Sacramento, California. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a great, healthy, and safe day. I'll see you back in a week. Have a great day.